Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Me with you
on this Tuesday, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it up, routine to difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay. Let's see now. I did three talk shows yesterday, two today. And guess what everybody asked me about? What do you think of the Michigan scandal? What do you think's going to happen? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. It seems like Michigan has had time to come up with countermeasures of what they would perceive to be the worst-case scenarios. And that's why that something may happen this week, but they'll be intact as a coaching staff of the game, because I think you can appeal, you can get the legal side of it going, whatever. I mean, and so I'm not really going to worry too much about it. I think in the end, maybe not this hour, not this week, something's going to happen. I mean, you have three investigations going on. You're going to tell me they're going to go 0-for-3 on these things? I think you do need to make sure that in this situation, the old saying, make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. Well, you have to do it. And because you don't want any issue that if something comes up that you're going to put the hammer down on it. Okay. Now, they brought in Ric Flair yesterday. And he was at Schembechler Hall. He was at Michigan to see Jim Harbaugh. They've been friends back in the days when Harbaugh was with the Chicago Bears. Flair, of course, I think the suit knows all these things. He's a villain in the wrestling world. And Harbaugh now finds himself in the Wolverines being described as the villains in college football. Zach Zinner, the offensive lineman for Michigan, said, "I know there's a lot of noise going on outside the building. I haven't really paid too much attention to it. But, I mean, if someone thinks we're the villain, I mean, I'm fine being the villain. You know, sometimes the villain wins and takes down the superhero. So if that's going to be the case, let's be the villain and let's take them down. I'm fine with being the villain. That's how the media and everyone else sees it outside the building. Well, here's the issue. You got to play a game. Is Penn State looking at them as the villain? No, they're looking at them as Michigan, a team they need to beat. I mean, I can tell you right, I'm reading these stories to you on the air about what's being said, investigated, things like that. But if you notice, I haven't really given an opinion. I'm staying out of that with this. And the reason I'm staying out of it with this is the game is the most important thing. All the other stuff, one way or the other, will take care of itself. And you know, I'm exponentially more patient than all of you. I've always been, it drove Matt nuts. It drove Kevin nuts. I'm okay with waiting. That's fine. Michigan is really good. We know that. Everybody knows that. But a lot of what we know about Michigan is based on last year. They were terrific against Penn State last year. They were terrific against Ohio State last year. They were terrific in the Big Ten championship game against Purdue. Okay, I got it. They weren't so against TCU. They're really good. Is J.J. McCarthy really good? Yes, he is. Is he perfect? No, but he's very good. Do we know that Blake Corum's really good? Yep. Do we know Donovan Edwards? I know running-wise, statistically, he has struggled, but he's still terrific in the pass game. Really, really good? Yeah. Cortland Loveland, the tight end. I remember A.J. Barner from playing at Indiana as a tight end. Really good player. Roman Wilson caught 2 touchdown passes in here 2 years ago. He has 10 touchdown catches this year. Really good. Cornelius Johnson could make big plays. Some members of that offensive line we've seen before. Others are transfers, but they played well to this point. Defense, McGregor at defensive end, number 17. Junior Colson, Michael Barrett. The linebackers, the safety, Makari Page, number 7. Mike Samra still. Terrific nickel. Will Johnson, number 2 at corner. They're all really good players that we know about. But what is interesting about this Michigan team is that you know they're really good. Are they really good at a 9.5 level? Or are they really good at a 7.5 level? I don't think any of us knows. Because they have not been in that game in the fourth quarter. And this goes back, again, I'm not going to talk out of turn here. You guys know that I've always said, who listen to this show regularly, the really good teams are not in close games. Now let's take it a step further. So let's use Duke basketball as an example. Duke is winning one game impressively after another after everybody. Comfortable win, comfortable win, comfortable win, because the really good teams aren't in close games. Now, eventually, they play North Carolina. Well, you know what? Okay. Then you play North Carolina, and you expect it to be a close game. And those North Carolina games are close. Because you're not expected to blow out North Carolina. You're not expected, and North Carolina's not expected to blow out Duke. You get into the Final Four, you're not expecting blowouts. You get into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, now you're getting into the second round of the NCAA tournament, you're not expecting blowouts. But in all the other games, you're just really good, and guess what? really good teams aren't in close games. Well, Michigan has not been in a close game this year. Why? They're really good. Except now, there's a distinct possibility they're going to be in a close game. And nobody knows how they're going to react or play. You just don't know. That's the mystery of this. That's the mystery of it. And that's what we're looking to see. How this plays out. Again, the really good teams aren't in close games. Well, guess what? I mean, you know, is Rutgers a good team? Yes, Rutgers is a good team. I've said that. But again, there's no gauge on them. And as I said yesterday, it wasn't until I watched a tape. It's the first time I've really seen Michigan play. They haven't played a game or a matchup that I was interested in seeing. I didn't want to watch the UNLV game or the Bowling Green game or the game with East Carolina or, you know, everything else they've played so far. Minnesota. Hey, it's the Little Brown Jug game. That's nice. Okay. Just nothing there I wanted to see. That as a college football fan, I wanted to see. I figured, well, you know what? When I get to the week of the game, that's when I'll look at a tape and see a couple games. Right? But up to this point, I hadn't really watched them play because they didn't play a compelling game or there was not going into the week a compelling matchup that interested me to watch as a fan of college football. It's, but their job as players and coaches is to go out, get ready for whatever's in front of them, and they've handled all of them in the same efficient way, week in and week out. Credit to them. So now, let's see how this one plays out. There's no doubt they have terrific players. No doubt. Penn State basketball won last night in the opener. Beat Delaware State 79-45, 22 Kanye Clary, 20 for Jameel Brown. Michigan State lost in overtime last night to James Madison. How about that? How about that? But that happens this time of the year. You're going to get some of those results. You know, Ohio State just barely got by Oakland to start last night. I mean, you're going to have a bunch of those games. Just the way it is. Early in the season, stuff happens. You know, Penn State didn't happen to them. Now they got Lehigh Friday night at 7:30. Fun game last night. A lot of turnovers. I mean, that was the negative, is the too many turnover part. But, you know, hit some three-point shots, Hicks and Brown. Great defense, forced 23 turnovers, no passing lanes available. There was, I mean, a lot to like about it last night. Played fast, a lot of possessions. Yeah, not bad. Lehigh lost by 6, I want to say 84-78 to Cornell. Cornell presses the entire game. But that's what you had last night. All right, we'll take a break. We have Donnie Collins today, Neil Coulong today. Tomorrow, Bill Bender from Sporting News is going to join us. Great to have you with us today. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us. Donnie Collins coming up at 1:35 today. Neil Coulong, 2:06. And Penn State and Michigan. And again, the sign stealing thing, I mean, there's so much going on around it. It is an incredibly fascinating story and aspect to all this, which I realize has captured the imagination of a lot of people, and I completely understand why. It's a big-name program. It gives one the idea that there's a perception why they go from okay to great quickly. And then, of course, they're playing this week. But Penn State needs to go out, practice, go about its business, and who cares what's going on there? Who cares? I could deliver any opinion I want here on it, and Jim Harbaugh would not care in the least what my opinion happens to be. To which I say, what a coincidence. So, that's up to the conference now and the NCAA as to how they want to handle it. I will just roll with the punches as to what that happens to be, and Jack Ham and I, along with Brian Tripp, will broadcast the game. Pretty simple. It doesn't change my preparation in the least. In the least. It has nothing to do with, you know, I just roll whatever happens in front of me. And other people make the decisions, I don't. So let them make the decision, whatever it is, one way or the other, and I'll roll with it. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Donnie Collins next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best new inventory. All with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Donnie Collins, Scranton Times-Tribune. I believe we have Donnie on now. Yes, we do. Hello, Donnie. It's great to see you on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
So what did you think? You and I talked before the game, and then a few hours later the game was over. What were the impressions that struck you about it?
Yeah, they were as clean as they've been all season on offense, but they were also getting chances to make those plays deep. And I think that's really, it's not a surprise. We've all talked about it all year that, you know, that was the next step for the offense, being able to take some of those, some advantage of some of those opportunities to hit plays deep when you're in zero coverage or or cover one, and you got a lot of man being played, and I think that's really been the next step for Drew Aller. He's taken those opportunities, and to the credit of the receivers, who we all had questions about, they made plays, and I don't think Maryland in the secondary, they always put some guys in the NFL. They're a pretty good secondary. I mean, they got some individual talent out there. So I thought that, you know, Olushanu said this morning on his call, the Maryland game came at the right time. And I think Penn State needed a game like that where they played as consistently on offense as they have all season. They made the plays that they're going to need to make to beat a really good team. And I think the big question I have is, you know, what does it do for your confidence, and what does confidence really mean? I think you don't measure it in any analytical way, but you have to have it coming into a game against Michigan. And I think Penn State is going to be playing with a lot of confidence this week. Now, whether that translates against a very different Michigan defense that's going to have a very different plan, I don't know. But I think Penn State, with what he did against Michigan, puts themselves in a really good position to play during the championship months here, which is what Olu called November. And really, they played well in November last year. I think they're set up for it this year, but this is a huge challenge.
No question, because this is, I mentioned in 17, 19, and 22, years where Penn State ended up going to a New Year's Six Bowl game and winning all three, the Fiesta, Cotton, and Rose Bowls. They got to November in each of those years, Donnie, and there was never a game that could move them any further up. That's not this year. That game is this week. What's your thought on that because of how the schedule has played out?
Yeah, that's a good point, because last year, hey, you played strong in November, but it was not a good schedule. It was not the kind of schedule, like you said, that's going to move you up into fifth place or you know, and any higher in the playoff. But this is a game that changes everything. If you go out and win it, I don't want to say people forget about Ohio State, but I think you can forget about Ohio State and what happened out there. And in a lot of ways, if you're of the belief that Michigan is better than Ohio State, and I'm not certain that they're not, I think that they have played the way they've played them the last 2 years. I think certainly they'd be the favorite again this year. If Penn State could beat Michigan, figure out a way to get it done, they're in the driver's seat in a way. If Michigan could beat Ohio State later in the year, and assuming you get the three-way tie scenario, you know, their tiebreaker is better. So I think this is kind of this is one game that has that feeling of the 2016 Ohio State game to me, where, you know, it doesn't seem likely on paper, but if you can get it done, no matter how you have to get it done, it could change the outlook for you. And they won that game, and that was it. They took off for a couple of months from there. I think that this game presents itself in that way for Penn State. And look, the other thing with Michigan is they have never been as dominant against Penn State in Happy Valley as they've been in Ann Arbor. I mean, this is just a different program when you see them on the road. So I think Penn State is set up in a way, but if the question is Michigan man for man too good for it? And I think I came into the season thinking Penn State would have to prove it to me against Michigan, and they're going to have to prove it this week. But I think they know that. And look, you know, when you go out to Ohio State and lay an egg, and I think they laid an egg in a lot of different facets of the game on offense, you know, that does provide some motivation to go out there and prove that was the fluke and not history being the fluke, which, you know, let's see how that goes. But I think Penn State's got a lot to play for, and Michigan hasn't played a team like this. So it's going to be interesting.
It'll be good. I want to get to that point in a moment, but I did want to bring up Dante Cephas first, because you had mentioned the wide receiver stepping up. He primarily is the guy that stepped up. Two touchdown catches in the game, reliable. They were both really good catches. Are you starting to see in him the balance to Keandre Lambert-Smith on the other side, or do you still need to see more?
Starting to see it for sure. And you know, I think with Cephas, the thing was always consistency. James mentioned that a lot. Consistency with route running, consistency with practice. And, you know, he wasn't brought in to be a fourth receiver. He was brought in to be what he was against Maryland. And I think the play, you know, certainly that first touchdown, great throw by Drew. Mm-hmm. And Cephas did an athletic job to, you know, to get his feet down. That was pretty good coverage on that throw. But, you know, that's a touchdown they hadn't scored all year. That style of touchdown outside of Keandre. And Cephas gets it for him. But I think the play that he made that was most encouraging, I think, for Penn State's offense was the second touchdown. Because he got – that's a good cornerback covering him. And he got a lot of separation right off the line. He did a really good job, ran a great route. Drew put it right on him. He hauls it in. He played with a lot of confidence after that first touchdown. And, you know, there was so much talk the week before about Drew with the, you know, oh, does the interception help him? And I've heard a couple of players say that they thought that might free him up a little bit. And I don't necessarily buy that. But I certainly think the first touchdown catch for Cephas might free him up a little bit, get him playing with a little more confidence. So I think that's a big deal. And if he plays like a number two or a number one guy going forward, and look, Penn State's counting on him. They have him for a while here. They want him to play like that. So obviously they want him to play like that. So I think that would help. But, you know, they also – McClain played a lot the last couple of weeks. Saunders had a couple of targets. And it took a really nice play to prevent him from getting a touchdown. Really, maybe a really lucky play for Maryland in a way to get him from – to keep him from scoring a touchdown. So I think the receivers played better, but I think some of that was the coverage. But I don't know if the coverage had much to do with Cephas' game. I think it was him playing with a lot more confidence. So, and that's what they need, because Keandre is a confident guy. We all know that. And they needed somebody else to kind of play with that mentality and that attitude, and Cephas came out and did it.
So, Donnie, I'm going to go back now and jump back to the end of what you were talking about when it came to Michigan. I don't know about you, but until I watched tapes this week, I had not watched Michigan play this year. And the reason I hadn't watched them play this year, there wasn't a single game that, as a fan, I wanted to watch. I mean, you know, in other words, like, let's take Saturday night. I know Jack Hamm and I were driving back on Saturday night, but we listened to Washington USC on the radio, and we listened to Alabama LSU. And Jack would check his phone to see what the Purdue score was with Michigan. I mean, if I'm home, I would have been going back and forth between those two games. I would not have been watching Michigan. And they haven't played anybody that, like, where I sat back and, like, hey, I can't wait for that game. So what do you think of, I mean, how difficult? We know they're really good. Okay, we know that. But do we know how good?
Yeah, I don't know if we can, if we're truly going to know until this week, because, yeah, what is them playing Michigan State and them playing whoever, what does that tell you? It doesn't really mean much. And I bring up Michigan State because that's the team I saw them play. They played Sparty when we were in Columbus, and after the game, Rich Scarcella and I went to eat, and they had it on the big screen. But I'm not sure anywhere else in the country had that game on the big screen. It just happened to be in Columbus, Ohio. So that's the only reason I've seen them. But I would have been in the same boat. I would have never. There have been no occasion to watch a Michigan game for me, because what does it prove? And they haven't had a prove it moment this year. And I don't know if it's going to matter if they get off to this great start. It's 14-0.
Sure.
I don't know if it matters. But if it's 10-10 in the third quarter, if it's the Ohio State game, let's say if it's the same kind of style. It's a rock fight in the second half. It's a one-score game. And then I think it might matter. So I think James has said a couple times this year where, you know, the object is, and of course it's the object. You know, you can't lose more than once. The object is try to go undefeated. But I think there's value in playing somebody in your non-conference schedule who could tie their shoes. And Michigan hasn't done that, and right. they will in the future. To be fair to them, I think they have Texas coming up.
They have Texas next year.
They will in the future. Yeah, right. But this year they went for that theory where we got to do our best to go undefeated, or at least the one loss. And I think, man, congratulations, they set themselves up. They've looked very impressive every week, but now they have a real game. They have a real opponent on the road in a hostile environment. It's going to be nuts at Beaver Stadium. And they're going to have to show what they really are. And I don't know if they know what they really are yet. And Penn State if they can make this game, if they could turn this game into what Ohio State was to a degree, stay in it, if they want to play better, of course. But if that's a close game, I think you see a very different Michigan team than we've seen all season. And now, again, they come out and score 14 early, the entirely different story.
Yeah, and as you know, I've said before, look, the really good teams aren't in close games. But, like,
correct.
Let's take, for example, like Duke basketball, and I've talked about this before as well. Yeah, they're not in really close games with Mike. But then eventually you do have to play North Carolina. Now, that is going to be a close game, right? So the teams you're expected to not be in close games in, okay, you go from there. And they're in that spot. They're a really good team. They have not been in a close game. But at some point you do have to cross that road, and that includes, obviously, a talented quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who has, you know, been a difference maker for them.
Yeah, he's a terrific player. And, look, the game they lost, you know, we could, you know, make all the comments we want, but, there was the one game, you know, last year where they may not have had signals or whatever. We don't make all the jokes we want. But it was also that TCU game, one game where McCarthy played really badly.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Yeah, and if he plays well, that's a really good offense. It just is. And I'm not sure they get credit for being as potent on offense as Ohio State is, but their running game is obviously really good. It's Edwards and Corum, and I'm not sure it's as dynamic as Corum pre-injury, but it's still a pretty good Blake Corum. And it's a pretty good receiving core. Roman Wilson is a
he's
clutch
player.
He's a very, very underrated guy to me.
Yes.
And Loveland, the tight end, is,
yes,
I think, better than all who they had a couple of years ago is at Iowa now. So I think this is a team that is better potentially on offense than they've been in a while. I think this is a team that could win the national championship. Or, yeah, they can come in and not play well at Beaver Stadium again and make it really difficult on themselves. Who knows? But yeah, we're going to have to see it. And the other thing is, we don't know. This is a team that's got a lot going on, you know, with the sign stuff and Harbaugh's availability and things like that. We don't know how that's affecting the players. And again, close game, who knows? You know, do they start doubting themselves a little bit? How do they react? I think we learn a lot about Michigan either way this week. We could learn a lot about Penn State, but I think this is definitely a game where you're going to learn a lot more about Michigan.
Oh, no, we'll learn a lot more about both teams, Donnie. I mean, in terms of road environment, they played in Nebraska, but it's not Beaver Stadium because Nebraska, you know, they're an underdog at that point.
Nebraska's not Penn State.
Right. They're not a contending team like Penn State is, where the stakes are so high. And this crowd, there's going to be over 110,000. And when you go on the road, and you do have to either do silent count or hand signal, whatever you do, it does take away your typical cadence. And to be honest with you, again, there it's another position Michigan's not used to being in.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past where Michigan comes in for the whiteout. They, you know, that's the famous one. The first play of the game, they couldn't get the signal in with Patterson when they have to call timeout with 15 minutes showing on the clock in the first quarter. And I think that's where last week comes in a little bit, because Penn State really needs a good crowd this week. They need it. They need an active crowd. They need a circus there. They really do. And I think last week, playing as well as they did, I think that kind of draws people back in. It's the old Jack Nicholson line. You know, everything, you know, they've drawn me back in. Or I think it was Jack Nicholson. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they've drawn me back in. And I think there's that feeling with the Penn State fans now, where they can kind of see, well, this really is not going to take a whole lot, other than, you know, the whole act of beating Michigan, which is difficult enough in itself. But if that could, you know, if Penn State could do that, And if they can play well in this game, then the whole season changes. The whole outlook changes. What happened in Columbus, who, you know, at that point, it's the past. Now, again, they have to be able to go out and do that. But I think they're going to have a crowd this week that's going to help them get there.
How important is it for everybody at Penn State? I'm talking about James, the players, anybody associated with the football program, that when it comes to the ancillary issues with Michigan right now, they just play it cool and stay away from it.
I would stay away from it 100%. I would pretend it doesn't. I think the way James has to play this, and I think to a degree he's done this, pretend it's not even an issue. Pretend, they operate like you know they got the signal. But I would do that every week.
Right.
I would do that to a degree, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he played it right yesterday. Talk about how good this team is on film, what you're seeing, and just go from there. You can't make it about that. I think one thing I think they give a lot of – Penn State gives a lot of credit, I think. I mean, maybe not publicly, but in their meetings, watching film, I think they give a lot of credit to Ohio State and Michigan. And I think you have to go out there and kind of be aggressive against them and – you know, just go and play kind of the way you play against Maryland, if that's even possible. I'm not sure it's possible mentality-wise with the players, but just go out and do that and be aggressive with it. But I would kind of, if I were James, just come out and say, look, we don't care about if they have our signals, great, good for them. But you know, if we execute what we're doing, they can't stop it anyway. That would be my approach to it as a coach, but you know, you privately behind the scenes, you have to have some contingency plans for that, and I'm sure they do. But yeah, I think the public approach to that has to be this week. You can't make that a story. You have to make that something that they talk about in Ann Arbor and not in State College.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you to have an excuse.
Right. Exactly. Like, you know what? Show up on Saturday, whomever's out there, play. And go from there. Donnie, always a pleasure. Great to see you on Saturday. Always appreciate you very much.
Hope to see you again this week, Steve.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Outstanding, one of the best, no question. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's Neil Kulong next half hour. We'll talk about the NFL. Thanks to Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, for joining us today to talk Penn State football. Tomorrow, Bill Bender's Sporting News will join us at 1:30 tomorrow. We'll get his perspective on everything that is happening with Penn State, Michigan, with what's happening, what he knows about the Michigan situation, and maybe in general about college football, as Bill's been all over the place. Last time I saw Bill was at the Penn State-Ohio State game out in Columbus, and he is one of the best in the country and one of the really great guys out there as well. Just a great guy. Just happens to be working in this business, and we will have him on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. When you look at sports in general today, this is an interesting one, by the way. You probably heard along the way, Blake Martinez, former Packers and Giants linebacker, he retired because he got into Pokemon cards and was making some money there. And then there was the Pokemon card scandal. Well, he's back in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. And he retired to focus his business of selling Pokemon and sports trading cards. And they had referred to it as a side hustle, but that side hustle brought in $8.3 million. One rare Pokemon card at one point sold for $672,000. He was then accused of scamming buyers, and everything went down the drain. And he was removed permanently from the platform. Well, he decided now he's going to go back and play. They already have Yetur Gross-Matos out. He's on injured reserve, so they need him to play. And by the way, he knows the 3-4 system that Carolina plays. That helps. Okay. Next half hour, the NFL with Neil Kulong here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports. Celebrating 90 years of serving the Susquehanna Valley. We are WKOK Sunbury.